And so again, as we deal with John, remember, the Lord is on his way from Jerusalem to through Samaria, and he's going to Galilee. He stops on his way between Mount Ebal and Gerizim. He stops to a woman at the well, and he sits, and the disciples go to get something to eat in the town, and he sits and meets with that woman, a Samaritan woman at that. And remember, for Jews to sit and talk with a woman like that would not be permittable. But there he is talking. And so as we look at that, here we are in the presence of God, who is sitting there right now. So as we read, he's sitting there. So he's able to help us put this together for our benefit. After all, he took time to record it. Chapter 4. And you will note, please, that the disciples, the woman is ready. In verse 28, the woman left her water pot. The woman is having had conversation with our Lord. She's ready to go to the town right next door where she came from, Sychar or Sychar, near Jacob's well. It's near the well. And she goes at Samaritan village town. And she goes there. And in chapter 4, verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" Now, remember, we read that and looked at that. And here's the disciples. They come back, and he's talking with a woman. They were not able to say anything. They just were quiet, but they thought it and wondered, and we shared that last time together. So now, in the light of that, she is excited. She's leaving him, the disciples and him, and she leaves to go to town. She is excited. She's carefully excited. We share together. She's going to acknowledge. She is so awestruck that she has been discovered and that she has made her discovery. She, in her heart, has been exposed, and she has discovered the one who exposed her, the one who knows, the prophet, the Messiah. Now, so she's all excited, but she's very careful in how she presents that to the community, and we share that together. So in the process, verse 31, verse 31, in the meanwhile, she goes to town and communicates, and she's all excited. She intends to come back, remember. She left her water pot. That wasn't the main thing. The main thing was to get as quick as you can and share the good news. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. She is excited. And all else, everything that would be embarrassing or difficult, is put down. She's excited and just blurting out. Her heart is wide open. Now, so in the process, verse 31. In the meantime, the intermediate time, well, she's gone. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." And in the meantime, the disciples were praying. They were continuing to pray. And the word pray means to ask, to interrogate, to question. They continued to ask him, saying, "Master," which is used 7-8 times in the Gospel of John. Thus used of him as teacher means master. In this case, teacher, master, eat. And so the master, the teacher, is being urged to eat. And they want him to eat, but he isn't eating. And thus, and he says, no, thank you. Verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. But he said to them, I am having right now food to eat. I am having food to eat that you know not of right now. And that you don't know much about at all. You don't know about it. It isn't in your knowledge. You're not knowing it. It isn't within your vision. As you look out, you can't see where I am and what I am, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. You don't understand at all. No, they didn't. They didn't understand. They didn't know. And in the process of not knowing, verse 33, therefore said the disciples, one to another, talking to each other, discussing among themselves. You can just imagine of them. Here's the 12 of them all going back and forth. Here's the trying to, one of them's telling on, eat, and he's saying, no, thank you, I don't need any food. And they're all wondering, talking among themselves, oh, why doesn't he need food? Did he have something, etc.? And so here, verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Has anyone anywhere, has anyone brought him? And thus the word is used of the possibility and probability that someone has. The possibility and probability someone must have brought him food. Because she didn't have any, and he didn't have any, and so someone must have brought him food. Now, in the light of that, and remember now, they didn't understand. They just didn't understand. Now, is that strange? No, it isn't. Because you remember in John, you can turn there just to see it with your eye, John chapter 3, and in verse 4 and 5, Nicodemus didn't understand. How can a man be born again? He did not understand. The woman, chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift, and she does not know. She does not understand. And time and again, everything he brings up, they misunderstand what should be easily understood. But they don't understand. And he has to help them. If he doesn't help them, they don't understand. You remember in Titus, the Lord give you what? Understanding. After saying, this is what soldiers and everyone do, and the Lord help you understand. Because you can say all this, you don't understand it. Now, what's the problem? They did not know. They had a uncomprehending literalism. That what? This is blue, green. Do you understand something else? No, I don't. We don't understand. So everyone has an uncompromising literalism. They didn't understand what he said. And part of the problem is they were missing the meaning. They had, as we shared before, they have AM frequency, and they can tune it in and talk to each other about it. They talk on AM about FM, but they don't have FM. They don't have a spiritual relationship. It's a whole, like we shared in Sunday school. There's a whole other realm. A whole other realm we live in, all around us. And like the ants illustration we used. They're way down there below. And they don't understand. Is there someone up here that knows all about ants? Ants, do you understand what's going on? No. They have no idea that someone else is above, beyond, and other than them. And they live in their little world so zealously trying to make it work. They have a literalism, but they're missing the meaning. They do not have, they're bound to earth. They don't have another dimension to them. They just don't have it. And so they try to have the Bible about God without God. And we share that in Sunday school. Remember, God is God beyond, above all that we ask or think. So God, but God isn't like us. So you can touch me, touch us, but you can't touch God. God is infinite. We can't understand that because we're finite. God is invisible. We can't understand that. So therefore, we're trying to do it all apart from God. And you never come up with the answers. You can exegete it. You can expound it. You can say it. You missed it. And every time, almost, in John, they don't understand. I am the resurrection and the life. She said, how can that be? You'll never die. How can that be? They don't understand. They didn't understand. Remember now the ant using that, if I may. God became a man, human, with flesh and blood, so that he could communicate. He's communicated all through history. You can't be. But God, in his wonderful grace, in order to save and make it all work, he came in flesh and blood, went to the cross, so that we can understand, we could reach out, we can understand God. They understand God. There's something other than us, more than us, beyond us. There's you. And you are different than us. Holy. That's right. Holy and different. So now, here they are, all trying to work out whatever. They're discussing among themselves. And you can see, you can just imagine the conversations between them. And the disciples were operating on the natural and the normal, which is for them. They were being educated by God in Christ about the spiritual realm. What should the disciples be knowing? What should they have known that would have helped them? But they, what didn't they know? Should have. Deuteronomy, if you would. Deuteronomy. And, chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. No, I'm going to even go faster than that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy and chapter 8. May I go directly now? We're looking. What should the disciples have known? What should they have known? About Israel, the history of Israel. Chapter 8, verse 1. At the commandment which I command thee this day, shall ye observe to do, in order that what you may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What for? To humble thee and prove and put thee to the test. For what reason? To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. How? You have to test them. See if they're going to obey, going to honor God. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know. Why did you do manna? Just manna, manna itself. No, where's the vitamin C? Had to be in the manna. Where's all the nutrition? All the minerals, the vitamins? They weren't. It had to be manna. Manna, solid, complete food. Therefore, verse 3, that God, you're going to go and do something wonderful. You're going to give them manna. The reason, the middle of verse 3, that purpose, they may make thee to know. They needed to learn what? It wasn't the food of Egypt. It was the food of God. That man doth not live by bread only. That's physical. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man lives. You have physical life. You live inside of your body. and you eat food and drink water, liquid, in order for you inside the house to live in this house, the earthly house that you live in. And you live in that. When you don't feed and don't give that water, and assuming it all, then you will die and you separate from the body. It loses its life. You lose the privilege of living an earthly life in an earthly body. You lose the privilege of eating pizza. All gone. That's physical life. They knew that. Did they understand? Am I more than that? Yes. You live inside soul, spirit, which are eternal. God, they never die. You never die. So there's a relationship this way, physically, food and water, etc. And there's a one related, my heart, I'm going to lose the body because of sin. And there's a relationship to God, spiritually, and that relationship to God allows me to live spiritually. So I live earthly, my body, I live physically, eating food, and I have a relationship to food and water, so I live earthly. I have a relationship to God spiritually so that I live. Now, if I don't have a relationship to God, then I'm trying to equate how the Lord, how manna, God, you have to teach me, because I'm trying to relate, I'm trying to be educated on, what do you mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. God, you'll have to help me. I don't understand that. Over, if you would please, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And may I go directly to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to Israel. Remember, all of Israel is to listen. God said, I call heaven and earth to record, witness, to bear record this day against you, not for you, against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, I admonish you, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I tell you what to do, what you have to do. You don't have to guess. I tell you, where is the, remember the little things, or where is the little P under? And God says, I'll tell you exactly where it is. Remember the little things you slide around? And God said, I'll tell you right where it is. Now pick it up and find it. But you don't. Whose fault's that? Now, verse 20, the devil hides it. That thou mayest live, mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. Why is it so essential that he is thy life, and he is the length of your days? As long as he is, you is. That's why it's called eternal life. It lasts as long as he does. He is thy life and the length of thy days. Reason, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto my fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So, not food. I choose you to choose life. Life is a unique relationship to who I am. I want you to know that you need that relationship. And that's what gives you life and eternal life. Over, if you would, to chapter 32. Chapter 32, in verse 46. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. Here's the word, here's God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. All right, verse 47. For it is not a vain, foolish, empty thing for you, because it is your life, And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. It is your life, my word, my word. You eat bread, that gives you physical life. My word. God honors his word. His word makes a relationship possible. Possible. Now, keep that in mind, if you would, and over to Proverbs on your way. Proverbs in chapter 3, remember. By the way, do you remember Moses up and down the mountain? 40 days, nights. I want to know who packed him a lunch. I want to know where he found water on the top of that mountain in the midst of the fire. No water and no food, no problem. There isn't any. Because there's another kind of life with God. And that life exceeds this one. And you want to learn to live this one so that you can handle your present life. Our Lord, educate us. Hang on. Chapter 3, Proverbs, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Why are we going to honor thy word? For reason, for length of days, verse 2, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The word, thy word that I speak unto you, the life, 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 life. So the Bible just read, no. Don't you understand? You let it get in, digest it. Digest it. It is full of life. You digest other stuff, don't you? Eat your pizza and stuff. It goes down your stomach and you digest it, and et cetera. Wow. Over if you would now, in the light of that, that's what they should know. They should know this. But they don't. They didn't put it together. Think how much of the Bible that you might know that you don't put together. You say, well, I know that. Put it together with this. I don't know how to do that. You don't put it together. It's all separate. See? Not together. Wow. Hang on. Over if you would, please. So what could they, what are they going to know? Not yet, John 4, just starting out. But what are they going to know about this subject? Over if you would, please. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In the light of our Lord begins his ministry after his baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. A low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then, chapter 4, verse 1. After the proclamation, the declaration of who he is, now put him to the test. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, remember elsewhere the devil, into the wilderness to be tempted, put to the test by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry, understandably, humanly hungry. And when the tempter came to him to test him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, and the word if is first class, since you are, he did not guess, he said, you are the Son of God. He made a statement of who he was. He knew exactly who he was. You are the Son of God. And the devil knew that. And he should know that. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And what is the issue for humanity? You've got to feed your body, feed your natural being, earthly being. Feed it. You're hungry? Feed it. Tend to your earthly existence. and forget your other relationship. Well, I'm another way to help you. I'm going to heaven someday, but I haven't got there yet. So everything in my life is earthly. Work, home, school, coming, going, what I eat, what I do, how I feel, everything is earthly. Earthly to me. Oh, I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still here. And I'm caught. If I don't catch it, I'm caught all up. And I don't have the other part, relationship to God, to help me. Because I'm all caught up in trying to survive. Hang on. Thus, chapter 4, Matthew, verse 4. And he answered, Jesus answered the devil, as you read in Deuteronomy 8. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And therefore, he said, I'm practicing what they should have known. Israel should have known. They should have learned from manna, but they didn't. Thus, the Lord Jesus Christ set the pace. Don't you understand? There's a physical need. There's a need to eat. There's a greater need. And if you answer the greater need, your relationship to God, the other is rarely incidental. It isn't important. Go with me, please, now, over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know it. And picking up in chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore said the Lord Jesus, I say unto you, take no thought, don't be worried, don't be anxious for your life. Why not? What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not, don't you understand, is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? Aren't you more than just a bug or a bird that eats and then dies if you don't have food? Aren't you different than them? Yes. Are you paying attention to the other part of you, soul and spirit related to God? That's eternal. You're going to be related here now till you die. You die, then either then the relationship, whatever it is going to take you somewhere to God's heaven or hell, one or the other, ultimately. Now, picking up, please, in the process, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of little faith, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, anxious, worried, saying, what shall ye eat? We eat. What shall we drink? We don't have to do that. What shall be clothed with? Don't get hung up with that. But after all these things, the Gentiles, the unsaved, are busy trying to get, and they're caught up trying to survive and succeed from a human earthly level alone. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So you don't have to clue God in that you're hungry. God, you have to clue God in that your stomach needs whatever. God already knows. If you're saved, if I hope you are, if you're saved, your body belongs to whom? To God. Does God know and keep his body? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have to tell God about anything. I don't know it. I don't control it. But God has to do it. And so we're going to look to God. God, do you know? Am I going to get caught? I don't want to get caught up in the earthly. I don't want to get caught up in that because then I get panicking and I'll be end up, you know, the statements made in history. I'll end up begging for bread. And God, I don't ever need to beg for bread. But if I lose it, then I'm caught up begging, hunting, going to extreme, trying to make it, because I lost the relationship. Thus, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, looking to God, and physical life, spiritual life, and we need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we want to honor God, the Creator. We honor God, the Creator, by recognizing that you are not a pigeon, a squirrel. You're a person. And you honor your life isn't whether you eat, drink, and go to work, or school, or whatever you do. You are a person that is to recognize your Creator. That's another relationship. Not this way, earthly. What you eat, where'd you get your lunch? Not that way. This way. Relationship to God, God the Creator. We want to yield to God. We want God to be recognized. We want God to be honored. God for who he is and what he is. He is the wonderful Savior. And God has gone and made it possible. God, in his perfect humanity in Christ Jesus, has made it possible for me to be able to be saved, for you to be saved, and to realize who he is in your life. That's what the bottom line. I'm going to allow the God I am made by God, not for time only, but for eternity. Bread is all right for now, but I have a whole nother way, another feeding that I have to do in the light of eternity. And so, God, I want to honor you as Creator. I want to that who you are. I want to what you do. I want to honor your word and your saving work on Calvary's cross. I want to honor it. I want to honor your name. Everything you do is for your great name's sake and for your glory. I want to honor that, God. I want to honor that. So you see, I need to feed my relationship to God so that I can enjoy my earthly struggles. And that's what God's looking for. Now, having said that, chapter 4, John, the Gospel of John. Chapter 4. We aren't going to get too far in this, I can see, but let's do a little, because you need to understand it. What good's anything if you don't understand it? What good's something if you don't know how to use it? You know, I have things that I never use, and I have to go open the instructions to see how to use it. You see, so it doesn't do me any good, even though I have it. It doesn't do me any good. I don't use it. What good saying you trust God as your Savior and you never get saved? Never enjoy being saved. You should enjoy being saved. That's what I am, saved. Enjoy being saved. Enjoy God. He's the Creator. I have a unique relationship. Well, food. I got to feed God. Fill my stomach. No, I don't. No, I don't. Weight Watchers would be glad for that. That's all you need at Weight Watchers. Save you a lot of bucks and time. I don't need food. I take it when I get it. Don't have it? Fine. You know, pizza there. Eat the whole pizza. Sometime eat half a pizza. Sometime I only have one slice. Sometime I don't have any pizza. So what? All the different times? You just keep enjoying because you don't want to get hung up. You want to look to God, so you enjoy this existence, earthly, so by way of the heavenly. So now, chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus answered their question, their need. They didn't understand. My meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. That is my food. That is my own food. That is mine. My personal food, my personal food that I live off of is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. That is the food I live off of, to do his will, his wonderful will, to do it, the little verb to do, to presently I am doing, to bring about, to cause to come to pass, completion, to do what I have been sent to do. I am under orders. I am under orders to do his will. He sent me. I want to honor and fulfill the purpose that he sent me. He sent me. Now, here in chapter 4 and verse 34, to know his will, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. All right. Now, just putting that a little bit together, over if you would, chapter 5. While you're doing that, what is the purpose of being saved? To be saved in order to show you're saved. Isn't it? I mean, why be saved? To show the Creator, to show God's saving grace. That's why you're saved. To show it. So people can see. That's God's will. Isn't it? God saved you to show himself. My will is to do, my food is to do the will of God that sent me. As my Father sent me, John 17, what? So send I you. So I understand. I need to practice now. I need to get the benefits of this. Chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. And the Jews, remember, understood very clearly, they had no question, that he made himself equal with God as God. They knew that. Verse 19. And then Jesus clarified for them why God was so clear, why it was so obvious that he and God were together. Understand? Why? Why? Make it obvious, all right? The Lord Jesus did. I want you to know my humanity is made for God's deity. Thus, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So there's a unique, in his perfect humanity, he's going to honor the Father, going to honor the Father. So if everything he does, he's representing everything that God wants him to represent God's character, conduct, etc. Skipping, if I can, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. How are we going to get to God? By the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, anyhow, anywhere, cometh to the Father except by what? By me. You can't, God's wonderful, wonderful deity, you couldn't possibly enter into it like we've been sharing, apart from his Son. He makes it come together like you did in Sunday school, the sovereignty of God. And the choice, sinner can make a choice. And a sovereign God is able to get together with a person who can make a choice. And God's saving grace. Figure that out. Wow. Now. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So as we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to believe that God sent him. For what purpose? To save you. That's not hard. He sent him to save you. And so when we believe the reason God sent his son, we get saved. You see? Wow. Now, and if I may, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not, N-O-T, my own will. My will is to do the will of God. My food is to do the will of God. I don't do my own will. I'm honoring the reason the Father sent me, and therefore I have to live. I have to have all the benefits and all the blessings. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And just compare that. Compare that with chapter 7 of John. John chapter 7. Just one place to see it. John chapter 7, verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm perfect humanity, I perfectly represent God in everything I do, everything I say. You want to see God? Look at me, see God. See ya. My will is to do, my food is to do the will of God. Now, over. If you would. Chapter 5, verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me, the works to finish them, I have to finish them. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So the Father has sent me to fulfill his will and his work. Everything I do represents the Father. And thus I please the Father in all that I do. And my life is outworked. It isn't outworked because of hamburgers or pizza. My life is outworked in relationship to God. All the rest is incidental in comparison. Verse 37, and the Father himself, which hath sent me, the verb over and over and over and over again, the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have not his word, verse 38, abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you don't believe. You leave the Son out. God sent his son to know. I don't want his son. I don't want Jesus as God. I don't want to see God in Jesus. Therefore, you don't know. You don't know. You don't have any life. You don't have any life. Verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So how are you going to go? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, don't you understand that? Yeah, you're more than just, you aren't just a cabbage or a tomato or a bug or a camel. You're human. Wow. It's much more than that. And you get hung up with the human, earthly, then you lose the benefits of the spiritual and the heavenly. Now, John chapter 6. Oh, we got to quit. I set my watch by the atomic clock. So when it was right at the hit the right spot, push the button. So it's actually within seconds. If at this point, I just did it this morning. So for you, I did it for you, so that you would feel good that I'm going by atomic time. You see, I'm on time. But we can't do six without getting. It's going to take at least 30 seconds. So, would you allow me to go? I'll do something different. Over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We quoted it a minute ago. It isn't hard. I want you to know that I live not by food, but by God, His will and His work. And that's what you are privileged to have. But not many do it. Oh, they don't do it. Chapter 17, the last thing before he goes out to the cross. Chapter 17, picking up please. Oh, indirectly, verse 18. As thou hast sent me, said the Lord. There's your word, sent an apostle, different word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So as I am sent with a mission, assignment, so are they. They into the world. I have sent them into the world. And what is the reason? Verse 21. That purpose, they all may be one unique relationship, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, believer, locked into the unique union, relationship, fellowship. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that purpose they also may be one in us, this unique relationship. Point. What's the whole point? That the world may believe that thou hast sent who? Sent him. Not sent you. Sent him. That people may know that God sent his son. And you are sent in his son, for his son, that the world may know that he's the sent one. Do you understand? That's your purpose. Why are we here? He's the sent one. That the world may know. That's the world doesn't want to know that. They don't want to know that. In addition, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they purpose, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. In verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 23, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That the world will have to consider that God sent his only begotten Son because of you. Because of you. That's your purpose. That's your food. That's your life. I am your what? Life. I am Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am your life. So don't get too hung up this way. Get hung up relationship to God. And verse 22 in closing. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. God, what did this woman find? She didn't know theology. She didn't know beans, if I may say that. She met the Messiah. She met God. And all of the questions and all of the needs and all of the things she needed to understand were all at once answered in the presence, in his presence. Everything was answered. Here you are in his presence. My meat, I say it with my heart, I wish I could do it. For real. I say it with all my heart, though. My food, God. my eyes, my ears, my being is for you. All else is useless, a waste of time. I say that with my heart. I mean that with my heart. See? Hey, we're just little old us. That's all. Just little old us. Wow. God. You, just you, are everything. I don't know anything. I can't control anything. But God, just you are enough. Just your presence is enough. Huh? It's enough. No more. What else do you know? Nothing. What else do you know? Do you know? Are you a theologian? No. No. What are you? Nothing. Little old believer that wants God to be God for his own glory and his own honor and his own namesake. That's all. In a world that is trying to close off and shut the door of any knowledge of God. But you know what? They're going to answer to God, aren't they? Because you can't shut God out. God is in every cubbyhole, in every meeting, every lousy plan, every plot, all over the world. He knows every plan of all the diseases, if you could give that analogy, all at once. And you're in his presence. How safe could you be? Say, what else? No, I just start with that. Start with that. Wow. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, we know, what can we say? God. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for who you are, what you do. Spirit of God, thank you for the love and all that you bring to us from the Father. And Father, we thank you all that you make possible because of your Son. So deal with our heads and our hearts as the woman, as the disciples, God, here we are. We don't want to have our literalism that misses the spiritual realm and misses it entirely, God. And so we're trying to live a heavenly life in an earthly way, God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we could sing, please. Thank you for your patience. 268. 268.